Clayton. John Clayton.
Hey, Mom! I'm done with my segment!
This is the Coors Light Cold Hard Facts with John Clayton.
Brought to you by Coors Light. Made to chill.
All right, we're talking football with the professor, John Clayton, as we do every day here with Bob, Dave, and Moore on 710 ESPN Seattle. We got Michael Bumpus in today. Professor, how are you?
Good, how are you?
We're doing good. The news is out there now. Greg Olsen, he met, negotiated with everybody, including the Bills and the Washington Redskins and the Seahawks, and elected to go to Seattle. What do you think of the deal? $7 million, $5.5 million guaranteed.
Yeah, I like it. I like it a lot because it just adds depth. A quality guy, quality player, quality person, and it just gives you a little bit of a buffer zone while you're waiting for Will Disley to come back and be able to play. So I think it was a good move. I think he clearly decided that this was a team that he could go deeper in the playoffs with. I mean, he can get there with Russell Wilson. And again, he may not be a 16-game player, but he doesn't probably need to be. He just needs to kind of get this through the one-year stretch. And, you know, I'm sure that the deal is probably about $1.5 million. I mean, I'm sure he gets a signing bonus and all that, but it was kind of right in the range because I thought it was going to be about 5.2. But my guess is that extra $1.5 million that's not guaranteed is put in a injury type of thing where, you know, you're being paid per game for the 16 games or 14 games or 15 games that you're active on, or on the 46-man roster. So, no, I think it's a fair deal and a good deal.
Yeah, I'd say, John, it's a fairly well-priced insurance policy.
Right.
Because you want Disley to be your guy, absolutely. But, you know, in the meantime, and then it also proves to me, John, that this guy loves football. I mean, mm-hmm. He could just take the easy road. It's not easy, but still, going into the TV booth, he's really good at that.
Right.
And Whitten could have done the same thing. He came back.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
These tight ends. I don't know what's up with them.
Yeah. What is it with these tight ends, John?
You get to last a little bit longer. Now, does that mean Jimmy Graham's going to go and become a broadcaster, too? Or?
Never heard him speak a word, so I'm not sure about
did.
That. No, I never heard from him, but, wow. You know, good guy. I know everybody loves him over there. What about Ed Dixon? That just kind of brings that up, John. That was such a weird thing. Now, is he's still on
today
being paid, right? He's still on their roster.
He's still on the roster, yeah.
Yeah.
My guess is he'll be off the roster very quickly.
Yeah. Well, it's just so weird what happened with him last year. What do you make of that? Because when he came in here and he played well in 18, mm-hmm. now he missed the first six games, but it just seemed like was he at in the doghouse somehow with the team? I wonder what went on there.
No, I think that he just got injured, and then he comes back, and then within one day, he re-injures the knee, and now is done for the season. I mean, you know he's a good citizen. You know he's a hard worker. You know he's a good player.
Yeah.
But it just didn't work out to a point where he could stay healthy enough or be available enough. And so it's kind of interesting because, you know, I'm sure we'll see the cap number is probably going to be a little bit less than seven, but for, you know, maybe about $1 million more, you can get him. You can take a little bit of a hit on Dixon because this will be the third year of a three-year contract. But overall, I mean, you have the guy that started in front of him and in a pretty good deal. No, it's a shame, but, you know, Ed Dixon's roughly the same age because Greg Olsen's 34 going on 35, but Dixon's an older tight end too. It's just now you get maybe more offense when you get Greg Olsen than maybe the complete guy than Ed Dixon.
By the way, you guys can text in any questions you've got for the professor, and if we have time at the end of the segment, we'll get to those. Just text them in to 710-710.
John, I look at the text lines and it's mixed reviews. Some people are like, yeah, we got Greg. Other people are saying, oh, he's old, he's injury prone. Who else is out there? Was there another tight end that the Hawks should have been looking at?
Well, you can go on younger and gone with an injured guy, you know, and you have to wait till mid-March, but you can, you know, then go to Cincinnati and go for Tyler Eifert. I mean, that would have been one of the options I think would have been the next choice. But Tyler's, I think, missed more games in the last couple of years than Greg Olsen. If not, the number's pretty close. So, no, I think what it comes down to is that, the market wasn't real good for, I mean, yeah, and you can pay $10 million and lose a third round compensatory if you go for Hunter Henry or if you go for some of the younger guys, but they weren't going to do that. And again, they like Disley. This just kind of buys time for Disley. And again, on a 1 year deal, I don't think you're hurting yourself too much.
John, what do you make of the story out there about Jadeveon Clowney saying I don't know that it's coming from his mouth, but according to Matt Miller from Bleacher Report, Clowney wants to sign, quote, a market setting contract. So that sort of counters, we were all talking about the soundbite from him at the end of the season where he's like, hey, I'm not going to go play for some scrub team just to get the highest paycheck. I want to win. this seems to counter that a bit. How do you take this?
Yeah, I think with a grain of salt. I mean, I think that certainly if you're a Jadeveon Clowney and you held out and you missed training camp because, you know, you felt like you were betrayed a little bit by the Texans because they gave you the linebacker tender as opposed to defensive end because he was a linebacker, then you'll want to try to make a little bit of that up. But also, I think that he's true to his words. I think that he wants to be on the best team he can, but if you're him, why would you want to give up too much money? So I think what it says is that because I don't think he has the ability to pull in more than Khalil Mack because he's not Khalil Mack. He's not going to be able to pull in as much as, say, Aaron Donald. I mean, the only thing that's going to be in his benefit is that you're now 1 year after deals where Frank Clark got 20.8 and DeMarcus Lawrence got 21, and you saw the bump up that DJ Humphreys took, you know, at the tackle position. So you know there's going to be a little bit of a bump up there, but, to get that number, he's really got to be lucky, or you're right, he's got to take the team that is not that good and be paid by them, and I don't think he would do that.
John, did you hear about the Drew Brees contract?
Yes, I did. Did you? By the way, Drew Brees is back.
He is back for 2020. And then, you know, what do you think that means for – what's the situation with Teddy Bridgewater? Did he sign a two-year deal?
No,
or
he's a free agent. Okay. I mean, it was a two-year deal, but the contract voids.
Gotcha.
And so he'll be leaving now because, you can see how it's going to sort out. And, again, I know Taysom Hill, this is going to – make him mad and all that stuff because he's such a franchise quarterback, so much of a franchise quarterback. When Drew Brees went down for 5 weeks, they went with Teddy Bridgewater. So overall, I think that you can see that there's going to be a little bit of a quick reaction and all that stuff. But I think it's one where Teddy's got to go find another place.
Was that the commissioner on the phone?
No.
Okay.
John, I'm going to go local. Jacob Eason, I saw Mel Kiper has him going 23rd. To the Patriots. Can he do anything between now and draft day to change his status in any way?
Yeah, I mean, you can see it happen. I mean, you go back, not at this time 2 years ago, but you go back a couple years that, you've got...
Damn it, Roger, quit calling.
Normally I have the phone in the other room, and now I brought it in here, so kind of killing myself on that. But no, it's one where I think that he's got to go ahead and find another team because again, Hill wanted to be the franchise quarterback, but he wasn't the number three guy, and he has so much. I mean, what was it? Mohamed Sanu has thrown more passes than him in his
right?
career.
Is that right?
I think so. Yeah, and wow. Mohamed's not even a quarterback.
Right, yeah, he's a receiver. Was he with the Ravens now or?
He is.
He's with New England.
Yeah. That's right.
Yeah. So no, I think that Bridgewater has I think some pretty good opportunities. Again, how everything's going to move, nobody has any idea. I mean, at least we get a couple pieces answered. I mean, we now know that Phillip Rivers is available and very well could go to the Colts. We know that Drew Brees is going to come back and sign with the Saints. So those are two things that have been cleared up. Still don't know about Tom Brady, and then the rest of the quarterback crew, we just don't know.
By the way, I see a report that Brady, mentioning him, that he's not going to necessarily go on tour. He's going to have teams come to him.
Yeah.
Is that right?
When you're the greatest and achieved what he's achieved, that's fair.
So we're going to have
that's what Peyton Manning did.
Yeah.
Did he?
It's no different.
Yeah. Didn't Pete and John try to intercept him on the tarmac? Mm-hmm. Like the plane was there. And
yeah.
You remember that story, John?
Sure do.
Wait, how did it go down?
He didn't sign with Seattle. He signed with Denver.
Yes, I remember that part, John. No, but there was something about they flew out there and they had to like either take off. He signed, or there was something about where
somehow met on the tarmac.
They were sitting on the tarmac. Right. Sounded like a drug deal or something more than anything. Yeah.
But no, it's one where it's like this is going to be pretty crazy. But because again, nobody can guess where anybody's going. I mean, you can guess a couple and maybe get them somewhat right. But obviously, it all starts with Tom Brady. Now that Drew Brees is out of the way, it's like okay, so is he going to go to the Raiders? Is he going to stay in New England? I mean, now you got celebrities up in New England trying to find out where he's going because now actors are checking in and texting Tom Brady, and he's not giving them any answers.
Actors.
Hmm.
Like who? Who are we talking about here? Are we talking about A-list actors? Or?
A-list actors, yeah.
Yeah. Somebody said something about like the three wise men bringing frankincense and myrrh. Is that
mirth?
Is cool. Something like that. Mm-hmm. Anyway, yeah. Like he's just he's sitting there waiting for everybody to come through. Can you imagine, you know, having to get on a plane, you're a GM or whatever, and fly out to go meet with Tom Brady, make your case to him? I don't know. I don't think that would sit well. And somebody else wrote in, will he allow them to kiss his ring?
It's going to make them take their shoes off before they walk through the door. Hey, John, what does this mean for Hollister? What's his role now on this football team with the signing of Greg and then Disley getting healthy, hopefully?
I'll probably be, you know, the backup. I mean, he'll be kind of the flex tight end. And, you know, when they go two tight end sets, and this team doesn't mind using two tight end sets. So, I mean, he's definitely going to have a role, but because it's still going to be debatable whether he's going to pass. Will Disley will be on the physical. He might be starting six games on PUP. And so, you know, you have the combination with Olsen. And I'm sure what they'll do is they may limit the number of snaps. That, I mean, they may not want to have him try to go, you know, 60, 65 snaps in a game. So they'll rotate and do some things like that. But again, the Olsen signing just buys them time, and that's time that they needed. And it also takes one player off the checklist, one position off the checklist. It doesn't affect compensatory picks. I mean, it's an affordable contract for a team that, you know, has between $50 and $60 million of cap room. And, I just think that it's a good fit. And, again, I mean, Buffalo wanted him, didn't get him. And Ron Rivera, his former coach, wanted him and didn't get him.
So we're pretty certain that Luke Wilson and Ed Dixon are gone.
There's a chance that maybe Luke Wilson could come back, because he'll come back at the minimum. I think it's pretty definite that Ed Dixon's going to be gone.
One of the texters texting in asking, and again, you guys can text into 710-710 if you've got questions for the professor. Which offensive lineman do you think are out there the Seahawks might take a run at?
Too early to say. I mean, because again, first they have to figure out if they can get George Fant back, or if they want to get George Fant back. I know, you know, that Jermaine Ifedi is out there. You know, it does. You do get the thought that even though he did poorly at the one game at the tackle position, that Jamarco Jones may get another shot to be a tackle, because they have Phil Haynes and they can still get Mike Iupati back, and they really don't want to make a lot of change. But if they're in a position where they don't have Fant and they don't have, you know, certainly Jermaine Ifedi's not coming back, so now they've got to really figure out right tackle and what they're going to do. You know, they still have the ability maybe to do Ethan Posick, but I think that he's more of a natural center than he is a tackle. I mean, he did play some tackle, but, you know, what guys to go after? Again, you have to figure out first how much it's going to cost to take care of the defense. Because right now, I mean, you've taken one spot on offense, and that's good. But I think you need to figure out the defense. And one thing is, it's a pretty good draft for tackles. So they can maybe get the right tackle in the first round.
Were you saying you think Iupati's coming back?
Yeah.
Really?
Oh, and Ifedi not coming back. Iupati could come back, yeah.
Did you?
Why Ifedi?
I don't love them.
What's that?
Why are you so sure that Ifedi's gone?
Just think that, I mean, he's going to be more costly than Fant. You know, you can maybe get Fant between 4 and 6 mil, but I think that Ifedi's going to get probably in the 8 to 9 range, and they're not going to pay him $8 to $9 million.
I'd be a little disappointed if they brought Iupati back, frankly, because the guy's, I mean, he's well past his prime. You can't count on him certainly for a full season, and I didn't think he played that great.
He was fourth on Pro Bowl alternates.
Yeah, I didn't think he played that well.
Yeah, well, maybe that's because there wasn't a lot of good guards in the NFC. But, you know, again, he's at least still considered Pro Bowl quality, even though I agree he didn't play like a Pro Bowler last year. But he's a good guy to stick around, and I think it keeps you with continuity. I mean, in some ways, what you can look at, it's almost like the Olsen signing. Only the only difference is Iupati's been on the team and knows the system and certainly knows the coach.
Hey, John, there's been a lot of talk about Darius Slay. I guess, you know, is he one of the top free agents?
No.
I mean, you're, huh?
He's not a free agent.
Oh, okay. Well,
he's under contract for another year with Detroit.
Okay. Are they talking about a trade?
Yes.
Is that what the whole thing with Slay was? Yeah, there you go. Anyway,
Their goal is to get rid of all their good players.
Which is pretty much
the Lions.
Yeah.
Yeah, they have been doing that. Yeah. I would just be surprised if the Seahawks were in the contention for that, just because. You know, and we said the same thing. A lot of texters were kind of down on the Olsen signing, but I feel like anything, and they'll get around to it, but I just feel like anything that's not a pass rusher, you know, maybe is not super necessary right now.
Yeah, because again, it creates a couple problems. Now, again, it's not a problem when you add a talent like Slay, because he's one of the best cornerbacks in the league. But then, you know, it squashes Trey Flowers, because you're not going to put Slay in the slot. I mean, that's why they went and got Coleman last year from Detroit, from Seattle. And so he's going to play on the outside. So that means Flowers sits, which that's not necessarily good. You do now have two Pro Bowl caliber corners, but you'll then lose one in a year. Because first, you're going to have to pay $16 million a year at least to get Slay under contract. And then you have Shaquille Griffin, you know, who's now in a Pro Bowl level. And so he's going to command anywhere between 12 and 14 or 15 million bucks. And so he won't be happy about making so much less, because, I mean, all he's going to make this year is $2.144 million as far as base salary, because he got the fourth-year escalator. So, no, it's like you then put maybe Shaquille Griffin in a short-term situation, and you're probably going to be in a position where you may not be able to pay Shaq.
John, do you feel the Seahawks should look for another receiver? And if so, is there one in free agency that they should go after?
Yeah, they probably need, because, again, Jaron Brown's not going to be back, and so they can do that. Or it'd probably be better just to wait for the draft, because, I mean, the one thing that they have the benefit of doing, and I know that Dave Wyman believes this too, you have John Ursua, who can't get on the field because Tyler Lockett's one of the best slot receivers in football. Well, you can take Tyler and move him to flanker. He can play the Z, and then you have Metcalf on the X, and then you start to get Ursua in there, and you still have David Moore. You still have other receivers that you can use. You know, Malik Turner, they like, but they probably need to add one more just for competition's sake. John, that means they don't need to be expensive on that move.
John, did you see the...
By the way, Paul Richardson would be a candidate at the minimum salary.
Oh, okay.
Did you see the Joe Burrow comment saying, quote, "I do have leverage," when talking about whether he would play for the Bengals or not? This sort of goes against something he said earlier about, you know, listen, I'll play wherever. That's fine. Now he's saying, you know, I do have leverage, and they have their process. I have mine. What do you take from that? Because everybody looks at that and says, uh-oh. Looks like Eli, looks like John Elway back in the day, that they're trying to call their shot and say, I'm not going to play for this team if they draft me.
Well, I had heard that for the longest time, that his dad did not want him to go to the Bengals. And you can see there's a lot of...
Who? His dad?
His dad, yeah.
Isn't he a grown man? Why is his dad involved? This is pro football, son.
Okay, tell me who is the one who told the Chargers that Eli Manning didn't want to go there?
Archie.
That would be his dad.
I know. I think it's hokey.
Oh, he showed you.
I think it's hokey.
It's really hokey?
Who's the Texas quarterback? Was it Sims? No,
David Carr?
No, it was the Texas quarterback where his dad was Wayne Colton.
Oh, Colt McCoy.
Colt McCoy. Yeah. He's like, well, his dad doesn't want him playing with a concussion. I'm like, your dad? You're a grown man.
Well, listen to what's happened now in the last couple of days that we find out. Now, again, the rumor had been out there that his dad didn't want him to play. And, of course, all Joe is trying to do is get ready for the Senior Bowl, get ready for bowl games, and try to get ready to, you know, see where he's going to be in the draft. And then he has the great bowl game, and he does well in all these different things. And so everything's going great for him. So now his trainer's Jordan Palmer, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And so Jordan is Carson's brother.
Okay? He's the one from The Bachelor.
Yeah.
Am I right?
Yeah. Yeah. And he's a very good trainer, by the way. I know I've had him on the podcast, Schooled with a Professor once, and he's really good and one of the better coaches for quarterbacks. And so, you know, in fact, I'm surprised the team hasn't signed him yet. But then, you know, Carson is in his ear too. I think Jordan and Carson are telling him, it's like, I'm telling you, Carson's saying, I went through the Bengal experience, and it frustrated me. Solomon Wilcox came out in the last 24 hours and said that he thought that took so much out of Carson, the Cincinnati years, that there wasn't much left. And that's why, you know, he ended up retiring and coming back after retirement, going to the Raiders, and he wasn't the same at the Raiders. Then he bounced back at Arizona. But, you know, Solomon thought that, you know, the Bengal experience took too much out of him because they didn't give him enough resources.
John, do you think Tua's going number three?
No, not yet. I think he's right now going five. I'm still not buying the Detroit stuff. Again, I guess if I'm buying, I'm selling what they're doing in the front office, because you know, they do have Matthew Stafford, and even though a TV station in Detroit said they're even thinking about trading him or making contacts, I don't necessarily buy that. But you know, they need help on different sides of the ball. I mean, they need help on defense. I mean, they gave away Quandre Diggs. You know, Damon Harrison's so sick of the place right now. He doesn't want to be there. I mean, you've got Slay up for trade. And it's like, you know, they don't necessarily need to get a quarterback. They have a quarterback. So I'm not buying Detroit taking two at number three. I think that might be just one where Detroit's trying to get Miami to move up a little bit.
All right, Professor, did you take in any of the XFL?
Yes.
I went to the game, and we all did here. Bump was there. Bob Stelton was there. Of course, Maura Dooley was there working. I thought it was a fun game. It was a fun atmosphere. Good crowd. I mean, it was...
it's a great situation.
Yeah, I wouldn't say it was super surprising, but it was... Yeah, it was pretty cool. I it was much more than I expected anyway.
Mm-hmm. No, I think it's a good brand, and I mean there's some still things that have to work out, but I think you can see a genuine excitement that's there. And again, on the television broadcast, I mean it is fantastic. I mean here you have Matt McGloin calling out the coaching staff saying we need an entire different game plan at halftime. It's like what's wrong with your play? Well, the game plan stinks. I mean he didn't say those words exactly, but he alluded
something
to
like
it.
That. Yeah.
Yeah, and so it's like that was amazing. But I think the great part is, you know, the game is set up, even though right now it's lower scoring than I think they even anticipated, because right now just about every game is the under. But I think what you're also seeing is that there's so many things in the fourth quarter that can promote a good ending, you know, whether it's the turnovers, the defensive speed, with 2 minutes left, they basically stop the clock after each play. I mean, you do have a fast to have great endings to the game, and you saw a great ending with the Dragons getting the victory.
John, good stuff. We'll do it again tomorrow.
Okay, sounds good.
There you go. There's the Professor John Clayton. He's with us every day here with Bob, Dave, and more. Coming up, we get a closer look at Greg Olsen, Eugene Robinson, former Seahawk, part of that broadcast out there for the Panthers for a number of years. He's going to join us next here with Bob, Dave, and more. Michael Bumpus in today for Jim Moore on 710 ESPN Seattle.
You're listening to Bob, Dave, and More.
Streaming live through the Alaska Airlines studio on the 710 Sports app.
Now, here are your hosts, Bob Stelton, Dave Wyman, and Jim Moore.
By the way, in case you missed any of today's cold hard facts brought to you by Coors Light Made to Chill, you can download the podcast at 710sports.com. It is Bob, Dave, and Moore with Michael Bumpus in with us today talking about the big news. Seahawks signed Greg Olsen to a one-year deal, and a man who knows more about Greg Olsen than we do is with us now on the... Zeke's Pizza Hotline. Former Seahawk, former teammate of our very own Dave Wyman here. Eugene Robinson is with us. Eugene, how are you?
I'm doing great. How are you doing today?
We're good. We're all looking at the news going, all right, this seems a good addition, understanding that Greg Olsen isn't in the prime of his career. It's just a one-year deal, but maybe you could give us some insight into what kind of player he is these days versus what we know of him in the past.
Well, I'll tell you what, first of all, he's a good locker room guy, so the locker room becomes even that much more solidified because he's a team player, no doubt about that. And then I think what he really excels at is his ability to run routes. He's always been a mess at route running and then catching the ball, always seemed to get open. I remember saying this to Greg. I told him, I said, I can't believe that Chicago let you go. Why would they let you go? He said, it wasn't a great fit for me, Gene. And I was like, dude, because the Panthers, they've done a great job of using your ability and exploiting your talents, because he's a nightmare. He really is a nightmare on one-on-one coverage with linebackers. He just does a great job of getting open and catching the rock.
Yeah, it seems like that. Oh, by the way, Eugene, do I lean on you too hard for any time there's any Carolina news? Call Eugene Robinson.
Hey, that's all right, Wyman, anytime.
All right.
Anytime.
Yeah, you always had my back. You know that? You always had my back, except it used to bother me that Eugene would always get one more tackle or two more tackles than me. Yeah.
Did that mean you let him get by you and he had to clean up the mess?
Well, they were wondering, by the way, yeah, we asked KJ because you just, Bobby Wagner broke your tackling record.
Yeah.
And they're like, a safety? How does a safety get that many tackles? I said, it's because I was playing linebacker in front of him. So there was a lot to be had. But, yeah, as far as Olsen goes, it just seems like he's really good. One of the things I like, he's really good in play action. He seems to really sell it. It's amazing how many times. Yeah, he's always like wide open because he's sold, you know, the run part of it so well. But then also it seems like he has a really good understanding of how to get in between zones, which I think will be really good for Russell Wilson because he's always extending plays.
See, I think you're hitting on something. He's been a master. Was he just met him one-on-one coverage with that linebacker with that safety of creating a space to get open or knowing when to sit down in that zone, when to extend the route or shut that route down to give that the quarterback a target. And the fact that you got a quarterback who kind of like in one regard Cam, but in a different regard, always keeping his eyes downfield and the players always alive and Russell Wilson's always looking to get that rock out, he's going to find a target, a big, huge target in Greg Olsen. And Greg Olsen delivers. I mean, he runs exceptionally nice routes, and he is just absolutely good at those one-on-one matchups and finding that zone and where to sit down in that zone and keeping the ball alive. So I could see him really being used on that third down play or that second down play, some type of mixed down of, you know, or you also got that screen with him too. So there's a lot of ways that you can go ahead and use Greg Olsen. I think the best way is that let him become that second, third down receiver where you can rely on him getting the rock to extend the chains because he's going to definitely do it.
Hey, Eugene, Michael Bumpus here. Honor to meet you. What's a realistic stat line for Greg Olsen next year? What do you think, 30 catches, 40 catches? What are you thinking?
Well, it's really dependent upon your quarterback. And this is probably maybe the rub. People were talking about Kyle Allen this year, right, and how what Kyle Allen was doing and how he was you know, getting and distributing the ball. But the production went down on Greg Olsen big time because it wasn't Cam Newton throwing him the rock. Cam Newton had a really special, like, relationship with Greg because he was – I mean, the first year he was 79 catches, 83 catches, 88 catches, 89 catches. I mean, it was this connection was just inseparable. They were just almost inseparable. Well, that wasn't the case with Kyle Allen. So I think the production went down because there wasn't that chemistry and there wasn't that connection that Kyle Allen had with Olsen the way Cam Newton had with Olsen. And I think if you even able to nurture just a little bit of that, you're going to see maybe a production about maybe 64 to 70 catches, somewhere around that. He's really good.
Seahawks legend and longtime member of the Carolina Panthers broadcast team, Eugene Robinson, is our guest here with Bob, Dave, and Moore. Hey, Eugene, part of what we've talked about with tight ends here in the past has been their inability to block, that they're just not great at it. Where does Greg Olsen rank in terms of his blocking ability?
Well, I think that's – I know he got hurt even in this past season on actually maybe a blocking assignment, got his ankle twisted or something, kind of got, you know, I don't know if it was a rush by the defensive end that was coming off the edge or maybe, I think it was a defensive end, but I saw him get twisted up, you know. Mm-hmm. So he had to go ahead because they rely on Greg on first and second down to block, and that's why he was so effective at pass, at the play action, because he could sell the run and he would block against the run. So he's actually a good run blocker. There's no doubt about that. But he got hurt this year on a rush. I think it was a defensive end. And so from that standpoint, you're not going to lose anything with Greg blocking. But what he does excel at is that that play action and keeping a play alive. And once again, he's a big target. When you throw the rock to Greg's going to catch the ball. There's no really not too many drops for Greg. Greg's going to catch the rock almost every time.
Yeah, and Gene, you touched on it a little bit about what kind of a guy he is. I just figure, hey, man, the guy's going into his 14th year, 15th year, whatever.
Yeah.
And he could easily slide into the broadcasting booth. It just shows to me he loves football. Seems like that kind of guy, a good teammate.
Man, he is a great teammate, and he loves football. He likes also, you know, he would be your lawyer, if you will, because he's the one in the locker room, too, that could go take any topic and argue it to anybody. I mean, absolutely. He's that guy, but he's so fun-loving. Everybody loves him. He's cerebral. He's a thinker. And then he's just a good locker room guy to have. And he's one of those guys that kind of galvanizes the team and say, hey, this is what we got to do. Keep the focus. This is what we got going on. Keep the focus. He's that type of steady, that kind of steady Eddie guy that you need in the locker room that's fun-loving but gets the job done. He knows how to separate what's fun and what's business, and does a great job. So, you know, a 1-year contract, he can come in there and he can have an easy connection to extend the play with Russell Wilson and be that guy. And I really believe if he's exploited enough, he'll have 70-something catches for you because Greg is just that guy. He really is that good.
Agent, you've spent some time in the Northwest and obviously in North Carolina. Olsen's going to be making the move. How do you think he's going to adjust? How do you think he's going to fit in up here in the Pacific Northwest?
Well, first of all, it's just nice. Now, down here in Charlotte, where he's been used to, he came from Chicago, cold, down to Charlotte in really nice warm weather, going to Seattle where he's going to experience a little bit of rain. And from that standpoint, like I said, Greg is a pro. Greg knows how to separate what's fact, what's fiction from what's football, and he's going to do a really good job of that. And once again, he's that guy in the locker room that is a guy that you want. He'll tell you the truth. He ain't shying away from things. He'll tell you what's the real deal, and he's honest, and he's a guy full of integrity. And so, and the other thing that you're going to get with Greg Olsen, a man in the community. I know he's really endeared himself here in the Carolina community with this Hardest Yard that he does with his son. I mean, there's a lot of things of charity things, and community things that he's done that he's really, he and his wife have really applied themselves in the community that they've been a part of. And so I would expect that for the 1 year, you may get the same thing because it's hard to keep them away from doing community work. So from that standpoint, you're going to get a great football player and a great individual who's going to join the Seattle Seahawks. No doubt about that. And who's going to be able to produce.
All right, Eugene, I just came across a pack of football cards. There you are. Uh-oh. In a pair of Zubas. You remember those, right?
And I got the saxophone.
Saxophone around your neck, which was once described by Bruce Schultz as someone strangling a cat. has your saxophone play improved?
It's improved, Wyman. It's improved, man. I'm telling you, dude. Next time I see you, Wyman, I'm going to bring my saxophone. No doubt. If you coming down here, I'm bringing the saxophone, and I'm going to go ahead and play, dude. I'm going to hook it up. I'm telling you, dude.
You're going to serenade me.
I'm going to hook it up, man. Wyman is my dude. No doubt about
that. We need to get that on film. We got to record that.
I would love nothing
more,
man.
Tell Rabel, too, man. Say, hey, dude, I'm playing the sax, man. I'm bringing it out.
Okay.
The saxophone this time. Hey, I'm bringing it out, dude.
Love you, buddy.
Eugene, thanks so much,
hey,
man.
No doubt. Anytime, Wyman. You guys take care, guys.
There you go. The great Eugene Robinson, Seahawks great, and again, longtime member of that Carolina Panthers broadcast team with some thoughts on Greg Olsen. Meanwhile, the XFL sideline access made for a memorable interview with Matt McGloin. We're going to hear about that when we sweep the dial. Next, it's Bob, Dave, and Moore with Michael Bumpus in today on 710 ESPN Seattle.
Sweeping the dial. Streaming everywhere on the 710 Seattle Sports app at 710sports.com.
What does this team need to do on offense to get something going here?
We need to change the whole entire game plan at halftime.
Okay, what do you need to change about the game plan? What are you frustrated about?
There's just a lot going on right out now. It's embarrassing for us here as an offense, so a lot of things we want to fix and correct.
Thanks.
Wow. Change the entire offensive game plan.
That's Matt McGloin.
Who does he think he is?
His halftime interview, and I don't. Who was that interviewing him? Do you know, Maura?
Diana Rossini from ESPN.
Her reaction sounded exactly like Aaron Andrews to me when she was talking about Sherman. And who are you talking about?
Who's talking about you?
Yeah, that's her. The tone of her voice was like that same exact thing. But he threw essentially the coaching staff, the coordinators, whoever put the game plan in place under the bus, and he was benched in the second half.
She had a tone like, are you sure that's what you want to say?
Yeah, when you heard, what was it, Steve Levy immediately, like, wow. Yeah. Well,
that's what I was afraid of.
That's the beauty of the XFL, yeah. Right? You're going to get that kind of raw emotion immediately. I mean, they're interviewing people after they throw interceptions or after they give up a big play. I mean, it's not only the heroes they're interviewing.
Yeah, that happens more than people think. I mean, guys question things often during a football game. It's just funny to see this guy go in. You would think you have a camera in front of you. You're like, okay, let me censor this. Nope. Went for it. Oh, I was there for it. I loved it.
One of the things I'm still ashamed of, one time there was just this rule that I hated. And this is why I understood the whole thing with Richard Sherman blowing up on the sidelines. I guarantee you there's a rule that didn't make sense to him, that he had to do this and that, and then they get beat by it. And I got beat by something in practice. And I'm like, I totally disagree with this. And Tom Catlin, who I just felt held in such high esteem, he says, well, if you agree with that,
or you disagree with that, you disagree with me. I said, well, then I guess I disagree with you. And then he pulled me over afterwards and said, you know, that's so insubordinate what you did and blah, blah, blah. And I felt like an inch tall. Yeah. And I apologized. I think I got up in front of the team and apologized to him. But that's what happens on the sidelines. You know, you in the heat of battle, like you said, you those things come out. So I wouldn't judge Matt McGloin as harshly as you might want to, because I bet you he had a talk with his coach afterwards.
Well, just judge him on his lousy play, not that comment.
Yeah, well, that'd be better. That's fair, Bob.
Yeah.
Let's give Johnny his due. Johnny's a sideline producer. That's what sideline producers do when there's some elements and some rain. And when I'm suited and booted as I was, suit and tie, you can't get that thing wet. You know, when I go with the grooming cream and the hair, I can't get that stuff wet. So Johnny, thankfully, had the umbrella, and at times while my hands were busy, he was holding it, and at times I was holding it.
As Brock Huard explaining himself,
I only heard the last part. At times he was holding it, and at times I was holding it.
Let me clarify.
What were we talking about here?
An umbrella.
Oh, the umbrella.
An umbrella.
Okay.
You didn't want Brock to mess up his hair because it was inclement weather out there. We saw Brock running back and forth right in front of us, and every time he ran by, we're like, Brock! And he ignored us.
I love you, bro.
Yeah, he just ran by. We actually saw him run across the middle of the field at one point.
Yeah, who do you think he is going out on the field?
Yeah.
They put the reporters out there.
They do.
On the field.
He looked like it was hard to tell how close he was to the huddle. We were kind of on the side where the Vipers. We were by them, and they had a huddle on the sideline, and I could see Brock right there, and I'm like, is he in the huddle? How close is he?
But he's got all access. Brock, man. I'm not mad at Brock for having an umbrella.
Have somebody
How about somebody holding it
for him, though, over him?
What's the full story? There has to be a reason why he was holding. Maybe
Lydia and I were like 10 feet away.
And you didn't have umbrellas, did you?
No. I just had a hat on. But we look over and we just see he's got like three people around him. I swear someone might have been like touching up makeup. Someone's holding like a piece of paper for him, and then someone else has an umbrella over him, and we were like, this is crazy. Lydia went over and took a picture.
What a diva. Somebody's standing next to you holding an umbrella over your head so you don't get wet. I'd feel weird about
it's quarterback,
that.
Quarterback, man.
Too. I'd be like, I can hold that, man. Thanks.
You know what makes me feel weird? When the trainers like quench athletes' thirst, when they spray the water bottle in their mouths.
Water.
I don't understand that. I'd take it out of their hand real quick and
spray
that.
Yeah, I'll do that.
Yeah.
Yeah, let me ask you this, Coach. What about a coach showing up to practice with an umbrella?
And I know who you're talking about because that's my buddy. He'd have to he's removed from the field immediately. No umbrellas at practice.
Well, I'm just saying in 07 when Ray and I were coaching, there was two young coaches that came out with umbrellas. Well,
he was my teammate in college.
Who?
GP. It was GP who came out with umbrella. Prater.
Oh, Prater. Yeah. I loved Prater. He was such a good dude. But, yeah, I gave him a lot of heat for that.
I'm glad you did. That's that California in him.
Now, we all know what New Orleans thinks of Taysom Hill long term. And Taysom Hill will be a restricted free agent this offseason. And so you'd have to think that he likely is to return to New Orleans as the backup to Breeze, as a successor in waiting. But again, we'll see whether another team decides to step forward and sign him to an offer sheet that could somehow pry him away from New Orleans. As for Teddy Bridgewater, Breeze's return means that Bridgewater's departure is imminent. There's not room for all these quarterbacks on the Saints roster the way there was last year.
The voice of Adam Schefter talking about Drew Brees, who posted, I think it was on Instagram where he first did it, that he's coming back for another season. He'll be back in New Orleans, which is great news for everybody in the city, I would assume, and probably the rest of the team, but the two guys behind him probably going, damn it!
Yeah.
Damn it, Drew! Talking about Taysom Hill and Teddy Bridgewater, who will look to find a starting job, and Taysom Hill is a guy who feels like he should be a starter somewhere. It's a bad year to be in his shoes.
Yeah, I guess that's kind of tough for Bridgewater, although, I mean, he has a chance to go where he wants. I mean, not necessarily, but you mentioned him earlier, Michael. The Chargers, Indy,
possibly Chicago. David Carr is kind of on the bubble over there in Oakland or Vegas.
Miami was ready to sign him last year.
Oh, that's right.
I think
right.
The Saints put a little more money on the table.
Well, he elected to stay with the Saints as a backup rather than be a starter in Miami.
Yeah.
So
that's probably a good call.
And I think he was the highest paid backup quarterback in the history of the NFL. I think he made like
worth his money. Did he go 5-0, I believe?
$8 million or something. Yeah, he definitely.
But this feels like a flooded market with quarterbacks, doesn't it? I mean, the potential for the names out there. You know Philip Rivers is out there, and potentially Brady's going to be out there, and potentially Cam Newton and Andy Dalton, and we can go up and down this list of everybody that's available. So if you're Taysom Hill, it's a bad year for you to say, I should be a starter somewhere.
Yeah, it's a bad year, but if Teddy leaves, which he probably is, then Taysom, he'll sit another year and be fine. I think it's going to work out for him in the end. He's a competitor, so he wants to play. I get it, but why not sit and learn from one of the greats of all time?
All right, there you go. There's a little trip around the dial. We're going to come back. It is Tuesday. It is 5 o'clock almost, so that means El Hombre time. Coming up next with Bob, Dave, and more, Michael Bumpus in for Jim Moore this week on 710 ESPN Seattle.
Dallas Renegades, Saturday, February 22nd, 2 p.m.